DW. Ahmed Mohammed Abdulrahman is the Mukhtar, the elected neighbourhood mayor of the Hammam Mankush district in western Mosul. It's part of the war-ravaged old town where self-proclaimed Islamic State had its last stand. The fight for the city is over, but Abdulrahman says residents are divided.
The IS problem will last another 100 years. Children from IS families and children from other families are constantly at each other's throats, without reason. They just fight, and they blame each other all the time. The more IS families want to come home, the more problems we'll have.
The 46-year-old has a big, booming voice. As he talks, he draws patterns in the air in his ramshackle office. Abdulrahman has met foreign journalists before, and he clearly enjoys the attention. The neighbourhood of Hammam Mankush is close to the bombed-out Al-Nuri Mosque. It was from here that Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, the head of the self-proclaimed Islamic State, declared his murderous caliphate in June 2014. Today, both the mosque and the neighbourhood are in ruins, although, miraculously, the mosque's green dome was left unscathed. After last summer's final battle, someone climbed up and scrawled FIS onto the dome. The same message can be found in Hammam Mankush. Here, someone has sprayed IS, we want your blood, on a wall, in red letters. Before the war, some 400 families lived in this area. About half of them supported IS, says Mayor Abdulrahman. He and his family stayed until the very end.
Oh my God, that was difficult. In some cases, three people died in one house because of mortars, bombs and bullets, and because of lack of food. IS was sick in the head. They were shooting at aeroplanes. They picked people out randomly. Their minds were locked.
IS fighters used civilians as human shields, but the Iraqi army and allied militias pressed ahead with their offensive, supported by massive US airstrikes.
When they were losing neighbourhood after neighbourhood, they said they wouldn't be defeated. They said, we will win. So we asked them, what exactly are you going to win? The problem is that IS controlled the weak. They pretended that they had all the power because they were holding the guns. But they were weak people.
Now, 1 year after the liberation, around 75 families have returned to the rubble. There's deep mistrust on both sides. No one will admit to having supported IS, to sympathising with the extremists. Meanwhile, families who suffered shocking losses are full of rage and looking for someone to blame. Omar Mosin lost his 9-year-old son to a sniper's bullet. An air raid wiped out his brother's entire family. Today, he lives with his elderly mother. The house next door is still empty. Omar says the family who used to live there were IS supporters, and now they want to return. Abdulrahman, the Mukhtar of the neighbourhood, is visiting their home today. He assures Omar and his mother that he will do his best to keep the neighbours away.
I hope they won't return.
It can't be. They shouldn't be allowed to come back. Our children, all of them are gone, and now they want to return back. How can that be? They can't come back.
My son and the children, they were like flowers. What was their mistake? They were all buried by rubble. What was their mistake? I swear to God, we didn't hurt anyone. Did the children and the adults hurt anyone? No, they didn't. A whole family was erased.
My whole family was erased.
On average, there are about three families each week who want to return to Hammam Mankush. Each one is monitored. The aim is to crack down on sleeper cells, former fighters in hiding, and bureaucrats who kept the terror regime's administration running. Some 20 families in Hammam Mankush are currently accused of having collaborated with IS. The knocks on their doors remain unanswered. Abdulrahman answers his cell phone. He gets regular calls from people who plead with him to issue a clean sheet.
Yes, yes, I understand. The key is if the families in your neighbourhood accept you, then I can allow you to come back. But I'm sorry to tell you that the others don't want to see you here. You know that you had IS members in your family. Yes, okay, you say that you didn't have IS members, if the neighbourhood accepts that. But I know that the neighbours don't want you here because you hurt people.
That's his verdict, no return. On his tireless forays through the ruined quarter, the energetic Mukhtar is accompanied by assistants equipped with walkie-talkies. They keep in touch with the many military checkpoints. And they fill in forms for the allocation of water tanks and food rations, or for the removal of rubble. But above all, it's about classifying people as victims, perpetrators, and fellow travellers. Abdulrahman is convinced that there can be no reconciliation with the key perpetrators. But what about the opportunists, the hangers-on? Is it wise to lock them all up?
The problem is that people have too much time to think. They have nothing to do, so we should give them work, jobs to reformat their minds. I think the mind is like a memory card. If you don't erase the contents and only live in the past, history will repeat itself.
Naram Mohammed is a 24-year-old computer science student. She has happy childhood memories of old Mosul, where her father used to own a grocery shop. She vividly recalls her impressions when she first returned to the devastated cityscape on the western bank of the Tigris.
You can't describe it. To see a city the size of Mosul this way, the way that it's been destroyed, sometimes I feel very sad. It's not enough to cry. We can't express the grief. The first time I went to old Mosul, it was such a shock. I couldn't cry. I felt sick for 3 days. But I think that all of us had a role in destroying it, because before 2014, if anything happened, we didn't care. We said, it's not our business. So all of us played a role in bringing Mosul to this point.
Naram and her family live in the eastern part of the city, an area where it almost seems as if the war had never happened. During IS rule, Naram barely left the house. As a woman, she was barred from attending university.
I am a person that is close to books and libraries. Those 3 years under ISIS were like a jail sentence for me. We couldn't study and learn. We couldn't go to the university like before. So I moved my education and the library to my house. I read endlessly at home, trying to learn as much as I could. Of course, that wasn't enough. But we tried at least not to lose touch with the world.
Today, Naram dreams about writing her own books, about life and about people. She goes to university every day. The sprawling campus is one of the few war-scarred areas in the eastern half of Mosul. Some science buildings were severely damaged by US air raids because IS had used them to produce explosives. The jihadis also burned down the central library, once one of the largest in Iraq.
Buildings and stones, you can redesign and rebuild if you want, if you have the money. But right now we also need to rebuild our minds. We need to reach people's souls and learn to think freely again. This target of rebuilding our minds, this is the lesson we've learned after 3 years of ISIS, that we need to build a new environment in Mosul. We have to change our culture. We have to change our views of others. Everything that brought us to this point, we have to change.
Naram organises classes for internally displaced women in refugee camps to educate them about their political rights. She's also involved in student politics and often visits an alternative book cafe in the university quarter that offers readings on social and political issues. Her life is pretty much back to normal. But she's well aware of the many unresolved conflicts, especially those surfacing in the devastated western half of the city. 1 year after the liberation of Mosul, the Iraqi army and Shiite militias are still omnipresent. This was, after all, the jihadis' capital in Iraq, like Raqqa in Syria. The people of the city are eyed with suspicion in other parts of the country. In addition to the 40,000 foreign fighters, tens of thousands of local Iraqis joined IS, many from the Greater Mosul area. The government's anti-terror tribunals regularly impose death sentences on alleged collaborators, often in summary trials barely lasting half an hour. It's difficult to know exactly how many suspected IS members are currently being held in Iraqi prisons. The government doesn't publish any figures. Quoting government officials, Human Rights Watch last year put the number at over 20,000. Computer science student Naram is calling for a national reconciliation plan. Social acceptance, she's convinced, can only be fostered in encounters between victims, fellow travellers and perpetrators.
Living in peace is what we need most. We have to work towards living in peace in Mosul because there are problems. Yes, people hurt other people. People took other people's rights away. Our first priority is to talk to each other, to start with reconciliation, to accept each other again. People who hurt others should be punished accordingly. But we should also be able to integrate those who were just supporting the ideas of ISIS, but who didn't point a gun at other Iraqis. Because if we refuse them, we will create a new generation of extremists. We shouldn't treat all of them like criminals and murderers. If we can change a perpetrator's ideas, he can mix with the community and we can accept him again. We don't want such sensitive things to divide us and affect us in the future.
This report was brought to you by DW.